Our scripture today is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Let us kneel and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We worship you, we praise you, because you're a God, creator of heaven and earth, and all that we see, all that exists. We thank you, because you're a powerful God. Thank you for creating us, and for not only creating us, but also saving us from our sins. Thank you for your love. Please be with us in this morning as we worship, as we listen to your word. May you be with Pastor Dan as he preaches, and may your Holy Spirit be with us, O Lord. Thank you for giving us the chance and the opportunity to come here to get in touch with you, O Lord, and for this big blessing that we have to come together as a church and as a family to worship you. Thank you for all your blessings in this moment. Especially, we want to pray for your church, for each member, each family, for every and each one of them. You know their problems and everything that is going on right now, sickness and problems with families. May you be with them, Lord. May you be with us. Thank you for your blessings, and be with us in the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hold me close. Surround me with your love. May that be all our prayers. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Praise Team. Loved it. You did great. Good morning, church. Good to see you each here, every one of you. This morning we're going to talk about prayer. Have you figured that out? If my people, Dottie Godent was a school teacher. She had been teaching for 13 years and decided that she should travel across America and see some of the sites that she'd been talking about. So she hooked up her trailer to her truck and started on the great adventure around the United States. One afternoon, while rounding the curve on I-5 near Sacramento, in rush hour traffic, mind you, her water pump went out. She was tired, exasperated, scared, and alone. And in spite of all the traffic jam she caused, it seemed that nobody really cared. Nobody seemed to really care. So leaning up against her trailer, she prayed, "Please, God, send me an angel, preferably one with mechanical experience." And within 4 minutes, a huge Harley drove up, ridden by an enormous man sporting long black hair, a beard, tattooed arms, and with an incredible air of confidence. He jumped off, and without even glancing at Dottie, he went to work on the truck. Within another few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck, attached the choke chain to the frame, and pulled the truck, Dottie's truck and trailer, off the freeway into the side road, where he calmly continued to work on Dottie's truck, fixing the water pump. The intimidated school teacher was too dumbfounded to talk, especially when she read the paralyzing words on the back of his leather jacket. Hell's Angels, California. As he finished the task, she finally got the nerve to encourage to say something to him. And she says, "Thanks so much." And carried on a brief conversation with him. Noticing her surprise at the whole ordeal, he looked her straight in the eyes and he mumbled, "Don't judge a book by its cover. You may not know who you're talking to." With that, he smiled, closed the hood of the truck, saddled his Harley, and with a wave, he was gone as fast as he had appeared. Does God answer prayer?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does he always answer prayer in the way we think he's going to answer prayer?
No.
Matter of fact, sometimes I want to say never. Interesting. God knows best. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is talking to God and listening to God is, of course, number one, reading his word, but also listening to the impressions he may put in us. Communicating with God, spending time with God, listening and communicating. Look at our passage. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name," think about that for a moment. Matter of fact, I want to tell you that I found some very significant quotes that I have to share with you. Because I believe God is calling his people has more significance then we first realize the fact that he calls us his people. I want you to think about that. We are his people. Let me be so bold and take you a step further. We are his, you ready? Relatives. That's right. No other planet in this whole universe, no other creation can say that. They can only claim God as a creator, but we can call him our Father. We are his people, and we are called by his name. In the book Desire of Ages, here's some things I found. It's exciting to me. In Christ, we became more closely united to God than if we had never fallen. In taking our nature, the Savior has bound himself to humanity by a tie that is never to be broken. Through the eternal ages, he is lined with us. We are related to God through Jesus. Think about that. Jesus is our brother. There is a bloodline connection between us and God. Now, I'm not pulling God down, but I want you to think through this. He's still our creator of the universe, powerful, wonderful, worshiping him. But there's this special connection that no one else can claim. No other creatures of all creation can claim the fact that they're related to God. Continuing. To assure us of his immutable counsel of peace, God gave his only begotten Son to become one of the human family forever to retain his human nature. No other planet can say that. So forever, if you please, if you let me, we are relatives of God. God has adopted human nature in the person of his Son and has carried the same into the highest of heavens. In Christ, the family of earth and the family of heaven are bound together. Christ glorified is our brother. Wow. Bound together. Christ is our brother. Our little world under the curse of sin, the one dark blot in his glorious creation, will be honored above all other worlds in the universe of God. I think that's incredible. I think it's incredible. So about this time last year, we took a few weeks and we focused on the need of the Holy Spirit. Some of you probably remember that. And one of the statements I pushed real hard was the fact that we need to ask for the Holy Spirit daily to fill us, daily. Without asking, we do not receive. And I have to admit, that ever since that, that statement hit me so hard that ever since then, every morning and every evening, Ruth and I have asked the Holy Spirit to fill us. And I also have to say that I have seen some things take place that I know was only because we asked for the Holy Spirit to. And so I would like to push that even a step further. I would like to say so much for 2018. Let us continually, daily, ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us throughout 2019. My prayer is that we can become known. The Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church can become known as a praying, spirit-filled church. Wouldn't that be great? So not only are we going to ask for the Holy Spirit, we're going to start focusing, hopefully, more on prayer. And that's my message I'm trying to get across today. We need to spend more time in prayer. Because stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Those of us that have children, little ones, and by the way, I'm looking at these little kids during this story, and I'm saying, we got the best looking kids in the whole world. These kids are precious. They are precious. Yeah, church growth, don't forget. Okay? But, you know, and because of our children, we love them so much. You know, every chance I get a chance to go to Portland, I go up there and see my kids and grandkids. I communicate with my son here. We communicate with our kids because we love them. Friends, God loves us too, and we are his children. We are his blood relatives, and he wants to communicate with us, and he wants us to communicate with him. We need to focus more of our lives and communicating with Jesus, our brother, God, our Father. So my prayer is that we will become a church known as a Spirit-filled praying church. What better reputation could we have? That'd be incredible. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's admit it. Unless I'm just a weird one. Let's admit it. Most of us are too busy to spend the time we need to spend with God. Too much going on in our lives, doing this and doing that, meeting this need, meeting that, that we shoot up a quick prayer and move on. God is asking us to admit it and to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves and admit that we have fallen short of spending time with Jesus in prayer, in conversation with our Heavenly Father, if you please, with our blood relatives. We spend as much time with our children that we can because we love them. God wants to spend as much time as he can with us because he loves us. So prayer is the key. Listen to this quotation. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray? When prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse. Here are treasures of boundless resources of the omnipotence. So, you know me, I'm a method person. I like to get my ducks in a row, I like to move this way, and we can have all the right methods we want. We can have, this is big for me to say this, we can have all the effective small group ministries going and models going that we can pull together. But friends, without the Holy Spirit and without prayer, it means nothing. It's like buying a brand new car, but never putting any gas in it. What good is that? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to take that time with Jesus in study and prayer. This is not a Sabbath, every day of the week. She continues, Steps of Christ, she says, without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. The adversary seeks continually to obstruct the way to the mercy seat by keeping us busy. I have that in there. That we may not, by earnest supplication and faith, obtain grace and power to resist temptation. Friends, there is no shortage in the power of God. He can make anything and everything happen, but we have to connect with him. He can use our mistakes and he can use our successes. He can use our talents and he can use those of us who have no talent. Because he's a powerful God. We need to surrender him. He will be free to work with us then. He'll be able to work through us and he'll be able to work for us. And so what I want to do is take the next few minutes and show you a plan on how we can spend more time with God in prayer. And I call it the three levels of prayer. Three levels of prayer. So this morning we're focusing on prayer is the key. That's what she just said. Prayer is the key. Now, you might want to take that piece of paper, that golden paper, yellow paper, and it says, my prayer shield. You might want to take that, take out a pen, and on the back of it, you might want to write down some of these notes that I'm going to share with you, some points I want to share with you. And if you want, I can also print out some of these PowerPoints so you can see it again. I'm willing to do that if you like. Okay? Anybody need a yellow sheet? Anybody like to have a yellow sheet to write on? You're welcome to have one if you want. We have more, I'm sure. So three levels. There's the three levels we're going to talk about. The first one is my personal level in prayer. My personal level in prayer. The second one is a prayer shield. We all need a prayer shield. And the third one, praying as a church. So let's look at the first one, the personal level. And like I said, you can write these points down on the back of that sheet if you like. On the personal level, number one, let us make a decision to go deep with God this year. Let's go deep with God. In other words, let's go deep with God and have an Enoch experience. You know the story of Enoch, right? Yeah. An elder of the church one day asked a little girl if she knew the story of Enoch. And she said, oh, yes, I know the story of Enoch. She says, what is it? And she says, well, Enoch every day used to go for a walk with God. Every day. And he'd walk, and they'd walk, and they'd talk together, Enoch and God. And then Enoch would look at his watch, and he'd say, God, he says, I got some things I got to get done today. He says, I'll see you tomorrow. And God say, okay. So Enoch would go back home and do his duties of the day. And he continued this day after day, walking with God, walking with God, walking with God, going back and doing the duties of the day, the things he had to do. And one day, Enoch was walking with God. And Enoch looks at his watch. He says, God, I've got several things I've got to do today. I'll see you tomorrow. And God says, Enoch, you have walked so far with me today that you're actually closer to my home than you are yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? So Enoch went home with God. Wow. I'd like to have that experience. Hey. Second thing is spend time daily in scripture and prayer, making it a connecting time. And what I mean by that is just don't read the scriptures, but put yourself in the scriptures as you read. Put yourself in there and look at the scriptures. Pick whatever character you want, and that's you. And then ask yourself as you're reading the scriptures, what do you want me to do, God? Connect with God. Make it a real experience, not an experience where you're just reading about and thinking about, but become involved in what you're reading. Become part of what you're reading. Connect with God and listen to him. The third one is carry a sense of God's presence into your entire day. Carry a sense of God's presence. Look at this quote, volume 5. Oh, that I could present before you and before others of my brethren the necessity of an ever-abiding sense of God's presence. Wow. Can we experience that day after day? That God is right here with us. You can sense that. He is. The next one is practice being thankful. It's easy to be negative. It is so easy to be negative, you know. This world dishes things out to us right and left that's not fun. Practice being positive. You know BJ and Don attend the Ashland Church? I don't know if you know, some of you know him. Don has cancer. He's actually dying right now. He is basically on his deathbed. I visited him twice this past week, and several people are visiting him. If you know Don, BJ, go visit him. Spend time with him, pray with him. He's got cancer, he's dying. They figure he'll have 2 weeks maybe. I have never, ever seen a person in so much pain and be so thankful and so positive. It blows my mind. He is a living testimony to me. And I told him, I said, Don, you are so positive. You trust Jesus so much in your life that I hope that when my time comes, I can be as positive as you are because you're giving it all to Jesus and you know he's taking care of you. Be thankful. I mean, he could complain, oh, this pain. He could complain, oh, I'm going to die. He just praises God. Be thankful. Next one, get away for an extended time of prayer. Now, I have put here a 24-hour retreat. Well, that's nice. We'll have to come up with something like that. But or at least a morning or an afternoon or an evening. And I've experienced that. It is great. In other words, just take off somewhere by yourself. And just spend time with God. I mean, out in nature is the greatest place. By a little stream, the woods, tree, you know. Just you and God. Just spend some time with him, praying, talking to him. It's exhilarating. I mean, it gives you energy. Pick a day. Pick a half a day. Pick a couple hours. Just you and God alone. Not sitting in your office, but go out there in nature and just think and pray and talk. And God will impress upon you. I promise he will. Things that you need to know. The second thing I want to mention is a prayer shield. Now, this is interesting. On the other side where it says, my prayer shield, you notice what it says, my three or four extremely committed intercessors with a calling, special calling to pray for me. I challenge each and every one of you, and I'm going to do it. I may do it before the day's over. I challenge each and every one of you to find two or three friends. It could be your triad. Those of you are in triads. If you're not in triads, there's a meeting at 2 o'clock that will help you get started. Those that are already in triads, I pray that you'll come. Those that want to be in triads, come. We're going to spend just a few minutes together. We won't be long. And kind of reestablish and refocus our triads and keep moving on the equipping aspect. But what I'm saying here is choose two or three friends who you know or who you feel would pray for you every day. Every day. And go and ask them, would you be committed to praying for me every day? We need the prayers of our friends. We do. And so make sure that they're committed to that, that they say, I will. You only need two or three. That's the beginning of your prayer shield, okay? The second part of your prayer shield now, and this is where the bottom half is, I want you to choose anywhere from 10, 20, 30 people who will consistently pray for you on a regular basis. They may not be praying all the time for you, but these are your second level. This is your second level of prayer warriors. 10, 20, 30 people, a group of people who you know you'd like to have pray for you. You may go up to an individual and say, I'd like to have you as part of my prayer shield. Which level would you like to enter? Let them choose. I'll be the first level. I'll pray for you every day. Or I'll be the second level. I'll continually pray for you on a regular basis. And then the third level, any number of people who occasionally will pray for you. And I think that kind of fits in sometimes with our prayer and share time. You know, give your praises and you give your, I said prayer and share, actually it's praise and prayer time. And you give your praise and you share some of your needs, and the church overall is going to be praying for you. And so I challenge you to just kind of think of a number of people. And you can ask them. If you ask people, maybe somebody will say, well, let me be number three for you. But develop this prayer shield. Friends, we need to be shielded in prayer. Not only spending time in prayer, but we need to be shielded in prayer by others. I challenge all of you to do this. Some examples, biblical examples. Aaron and Hur upholding Moses' hands, praying for Moses. Or another one, Peter in prison. Peter in prison had that small group praying for him while he was in prison. That was part of his prayer shield. Or Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul was continually asking for prayer recruitment. Continually. We need to do that too. Now for the third level. Seen the two levels now. Let's go for the third level. And that is, we need to become a praying church. A praying church. The church as a whole needs to be have a prayer emphasis. We need to do that. And so here's some ideas I had, and so that this church can become a praying church more so. I had share and prayer again. It should be praise and prayer time between Sabbath school and church. We started that. We're going to expand that a little bit. We'll make a couple little small changes to get more of you involved. But that's good. That's good. Another one, how about a quarterly prayer worship using the Lord's Prayer? We've introduced that. We haven't done it yet. We did introduce it, but one of these Sabbaths we're going to do it. What does that mean? We're going to take the whole half hour and just pray as a church, going through the Lord's Prayer. Become a praying church. Third one, sponsor prayer point. We need to have a prayer seminar or some prayer retreats at least once a year. Getting the church all involved in prayer. Number four, set up a prayer chain. We do have a prayer chain. I praise God for that. And we call them frequently, and they're praying, a prayer chain. If you want to become part of our prayer chain, let Colleen know. We'll make sure you get on that prayer chain. Fifth one, discipleship groups. Excuse me. When we get into our life groups, the discipleship groups, they will be able to spend half nights in prayer. I've done this many times. This is incredible. Half night in prayer. Usually it's 4 hours. We start around any time you want, the group wants to start, and they'll spend 4 hours in prayer. An exciting adventure. You'll get introduced to it as we go into discipleship groups. Prayer walking. We've talked about prayer walking. Your different groups, your different families, your different units, individually. Go walk your neighborhoods. Start praying for our neighbors. Start praying for our neighbors. And then I thought maybe eventually we could initiate and start having a garden of prayer where we invite people to come forward during prayer time to pray. So here's some ideas. My vision for Valley View Church is that we will be known as a praying, Spirit-filled church. What do you say? Amen. 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 Let's ask the deacons if they'll hand out the connect cards at this time. Gives us a chance to respond to some of these thoughts. The yellow sheet is yours to keep, to use as a reference. And let's take the connect card out, if you will. I encourage everyone to fill one out. Remember, members, I'm going to talk to members first. As you fill out the card, you are encouraging the ones sitting around you to fill out a card. And that's why we like to ask everyone to fill a card out. And visitors, we welcome you to fill out a card. It helps us know who's visiting us. And we're just excited that you're here. And we pray that as you can, to come back and visit us. So fill out your name, your email, address if you like. Any comments you'd like to make on the front of the card? On the front of the question, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Go back one slide. I'll try. There you go. On this back of this Connect card, we want to connect with all of you. On the back of this Connect card, you find four statements. The first one says, with God's help, I choose to daily enter into an ever-abiding sense of God's presence. Taking time with God, sensing that He's right there with you. The second one is, I wish to keep my intercessors on my prayer shield informed. That is so important. If you establish a prayer shield like we're talking about, friends, you've got to keep them informed. You've got to keep them informed about your needs, how life is going, praises. Let your prayer shield people know what's going on so they know how to pray. Don't hesitate to call them. The third one, I desire my church to be a praying church. I sure hope everybody checks that one. Yes. And the fourth one, in my small group, I want prayer to become a major focus. My vision, and hopefully your vision, that we become a praying, spirit-filled church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I'd like to invite the deacons to take the offering at this time. And you may put your connect cards in the offering also. And